Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Final hour of this show as we go till 9 o'clock, and then tomorrow you get the full slate. Well, you don't, actually. Tomorrow you get Fesco, then you get Cody and Gold, and then the Royals insider for 610 Sports Radio. Josh Vernier starts at 2 o'clock live at Craft and Draft as they play the White Sox for a doubleheader. 3:10 first game, 7:10 second game. And then they play a day game on Thursday, night game on Wednesday, and then the Dodgers are in town Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yes, those Dodgers. That'll be the series I'll be interested in watching. Chicago's fun just because that's your rival. That's the kind of guy that, or that's the team that, eventually, when this team is ready to play, that's the team that is going to piss you off the most. Like, I feel like the equivalent to the White Sox is the Chargers. Because everyone will always pick them to win. We talked about the Edwin Diaz stuff earlier about when he was coming out of the bullpen. More and more audio keeps coming from that. Now, Buck Showalter yesterday on SNY said he had to go to the bathroom in the top of the ninth inning, but refused because he wanted to watch the Diaz intro. If you haven't seen it, just go to Twitter at SNY TV. They have like the full audio of it. They have like the fans going absolutely nuts. Mr. Met and Mrs. Met are playing trumpets as he's coming out. Drunk dads are in backwards visors. That's what baseball is, man. Like, that's what baseball can be. It's not what baseball is. It's what baseball should be. As we talked about that a little bit earlier, check out the podcast page on the 435 Podcast Network. One thing that is interesting about the Royals is that the kids are finally playing. And I get it. You know, all the attention is in St. Joe, and everybody wants to watch Patrick Mahomes go nuts, and Vern even will always joke about this, that his countdown clock is September. And then once September hits, everything else is irrelevant, which is kind of true, but it doesn't have to be. Because the kids are back. The kids are playing. The kids are having fun. And they're pretty damn good. 17-19 since they traded Carlos Santana's ass to the Mariners. He's not even on the Mariners anymore. I believe he's with the Phillies. 9-12 since the vaccination gate to Toronto. I get that those numbers don't stick out. That's a very small sample size for baseball. But 17-19 since you started the move of getting rid of the old guys that can't hack it and letting kids play that can smack it. 17-19, that's two games under 500. You're loving that in baseball. If that's how the season would have started, who knows where this team would have been at? Who knows where the leadership in the locker room, who the vocal leaders would have been? Because right now it's Nicky Lopez. And when Prado hit that game winner, walk-off the other night, Bobby Witt's throwing Sour Patch Kids at him on the field. Nicky Lopez is splashing him with water. And Nick Prado's walking it off. In the same game in which MJ Melendez hit a leadoff home run, who, By the way, MJ Melendez is a sexy son of a gun. That chain that he wears, his style at the plate, the hairdo, the look, the swag, MJ Melendez is a sexy you-know-what. And you put that at the top of your lineup, backed by Bobby Witt Jr. behind him, who do you pitch to in the future? With Salvi, with Bobby Witt Jr., and MJ Melendez, that's three guys that could hit 30 home runs. If you indeed let the kids play. Now, Salvador Perez obviously isn't a kid, but he's a guy that works perfectly in this team's system. Now the only guy you need to see get out of town is a guy like Hunter Dozier. Doesn't fit the scheme. But you look at the last 15 games, and this is on Twitter via Royals Farm Report. Last 15 games, MJ Melendez has an 867 OPS. Nick Prado has a 749 OPS. Bobby Witt Jr., a 736 OPS, also missing some games due to like making sure he's healthy enough to play. And then Salvador Perez, an 879 OPS. That's where this team is. This is where the Royals can play competitive baseball. And this is all we've been asking for. And I say we, because Saturday mornings from 10 to noon, yours truly has been saying, let the kids play. And if somebody is going to get upset about it, they suck. And now you're even seeing like Joel Goldberg and Jeff Montgomery have a little bit more pop in their stat when they do the post game. And they're even saying, yeah, the kids, these kids, man. Well, no kidding. They should have been playing in April. You could have had all of this up here. Because you weren't competitive with these veterans that you thought could hack it. And I get it. Contracts are contracts in baseball. And you got to have that type of guy on your team, like a Whit Merrifield that, you know, has earned it, needs to play once, you know, is your guy. I get it. Guys like Hunter Dozier, who for some reason are making $44 million on a contract, probably because the old GM just loves him as a person, not as a player. And now you're letting guys like Massey, Isbell, Melendez, Bobby Witt Jr., Nick Prado, Nicky Lopez. And as an organization, it kind of reminds me of the Justin Herbert situation. Now, in this situation, a guy actually had to get a shot to miss the game. As Teddy Bridgewater had a puncture to his lungs from the trainer, they sat him. Justin Herbert comes in. Justin Herbert's never missed a game since. And the organization was like, wait a minute. Our head coach knew this guy was this talented, yet they weren't starting him? Well, sorry. Goodbye. I don't know if Mike Matheny comes back next year. I don't know how many front office guys come back next year. But there's a yin and a yang to these guys being this good right now. And also the organization not pushing for this. Because it's weird that in Omaha, granted that it's minor leagues and the big leagues are a different level. But for a team struggling to find charisma and chemistry and a joint mentality when there was one right here in Nebraska, but you didn't see it. Tyrod Taylor, not Bridgewater. I'm sorry. Even worse. But it's crazy to think that this had a possibility of being here for more than just June, July, August, September, because since June 27th, this team has been way more entertaining. This team has been way more talented. And you can see Mike Matheny smiling, a guy who's super stoic, super militaristic, super just like a general type of body type. And yet now he's smiling in the dugout. because of what this team has developed as when you, quote unquote, let the kids play. Bobby Witt Jr. is a superstar. Should he have been on the team last year? Probably. Minor league player of the year? Probably going to be runner-up for rookie of the year this year. Unless he just gets like magma hot and passes Mr. Rodriguez in Seattle. But the thing about this that is accepting and disappointing is that there's a lot of people out there that were like, well, why didn't we do this before? And the thing that's fun about this now is that this is going to get you through the rest of the summer, right? Like Saturday night had some people over. We're hanging out, having a good time. And then I go inside, bang, Prado hits a walk-off home run. I refused to go outside until we saw the post-game interview with Joel Goldberg. In Toronto, when they won that first game, granted they lost 3 of 4, but they were competitive. After that first win, Nicky Lopez drops the line of, kind of just an unselfish win. New voice gets emerged, just like that. He's not a vet in the MLB, but he might as well be now on this team. That's what you need. Someone that you kind of developed around, like a Prado, an Isbell, a Melendez, a Bobby Witt Jr., guys like that, that saw Nicky Lopez on their team, and then he got, you know, promoted. Hit 300 last year, been different in the second half of the season, been a little bit better than he was in the first couple months of the season. It's contagious. And now your fan base might have a reason to go out there and watch these kids play. Watch your attendance go up. That's what I'd like to know now. Will the attendance rise at Kauffman Stadium? Will you now go out and watch them play? Now, you may not go out and watch them play Chicago. Numbers might be spiked a little bit because the Dodgers are coming to town. And maybe you want to go see Mookie Betts. But let's see if the attendance goes up. Because there's more interesting things to see on the field than just a, you know, Royals team that was struggling. And I thought the thing that was great about the entire weekend that they played against the Red Sox and won 3 of 4 and absolutely beat the living hell out of them on Sunday is that Eric Hosmer got to be there. And yes, Hosmer got his standing ovation 2 games in a row. And yours truly has been corrected. But Hosmer might be one of the top 5 most favorite Royals of all time. He's not 3. We figured out it's Alex Gordon. But he's 4 or 5. And he only played for about 5 years on this team. But when he was here, he was part of that first development of letting the kids come up and play. Sal comes up, Hosmer comes up, Moose, Kane develops, Escobar becomes a focal point on this team. And that was the motion of the ocean going forward for the Royals to be a better franchise, to be the team that did eventually get you a World Series title and go to back-to-back World Series championships. And coincidentally, Hosmer got to see that. He had to look over at that dugout and be like, oh, man, that feels like 2013, 2014 all over again. And don't deny it, text line in Kansas City. When you watched a little bit of that, if you did this weekend, if you weren't like Alex Gold and living it up with a high noon at the lake, and you watched the Royals, it was a little fun. Like I mentioned earlier, Saturday night, Melendez opened the game with a home run. Isbell hits one in the middle of the game, and then Prado hits the walk-off home run. So it was kind of nice to see Hosmer, who was the first run when they let the kids come up and play and develop and become that team that eventually was a winner. Now he got to come back and look at it as a vet playing for the Red Sox. Coming up on the other side, I think this defense can be, well, I think they'll be a little nasty.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Just about 40 minutes left to go on this Monday night, and then we're out of here. Where's the best place to eat at 9 o'clock at night? 913-586-7610. Where's the best place to eat? Check that. 9:30. Again, I need to reiterate, I'm sober. So I need to know, where's the best place to eat at 9:30 at night? 913-586-7610. Interesting time for the Chiefs as they move into the new season, because we're going to talk about the offense a lot just because of the magnitude of personality and skill set that is involved with the quarterback. The Chiefs have never had this. The NFL really had never had this. I do think we're finally at a time where we are just accepting what Patrick Mahomes is, so we can just kind of like sit back and be like, yeah, well, that's that. I think I might go to Waffle House tonight. That might be the go-to. Call it in, pick it up, head home, little breakfast at 9:30. That can't be good for my body, but you know what? We'll wake up and burn it off. A little chocolate chip waffle, hash brown. I think that's what we might do. Sorry to share that with you. We also asked the text line, what would your walk-up music be or your bullpen music be, as Edwin Diaz just completely changed the globe yesterday with his walkout. Everybody was on top of it. But something that I think a lot of us will probably look into this year is the surprise factor, which is what not a lot of people are talking about, which is the defense. I think this defense has a little bit more sass to it than it's had in the past. And there's two big points that this defense being the way that it can be should be brought up. One, it seemed like last year they needed a spike. They needed something to come in and kind of revamp the direction of their team. They needed that Melvin Ingram to come in. And then some way, it changed. They got a little bit of pressure as an edge with an edge rusher. And then from then on out, Brett Veach just goes, man, I'll tell you what, I've got to somehow figure out how to build this defense a little bit better, starting with the front edge. And you've seen that come to development. Karloftis gets drafted. You go get Carlos Dunlap. Frank Clark readjusts his contract, and now he's skinny Frank. Looks great. Looks really, really good. Doesn't even look like Frank Clark. But not only that, with Frank Clark staying on the team and readjusting his contract, now after the end of every practice, Karloftis and Frank Clark are on the side of the field, teacher, student. Love to see it. Frank Clark may not be the greatest defensive edge rusher in the NFL, but he might be one of the best to teach it. We don't know that. We're going to find out. but you get pressure from your front four. You get experience from your secondary three and Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, and Leo Chenault. And then you see the development of Justin Reed on this defense. And you're starting to see that there is a core being put together. There's a group of guys that kind of have each other's back. And 2 weeks ago at camp, I sat down with Nick Bolton. And he kind of solidified that for me. He kind of let me know where the defense kind of stood as a team.
I'm excited for everything we got building forward, and we're going to bring it every single day. We got a lot of young guys trying to make a name for themselves, including Willie, Snead, all those guys trying to make a mark in, on this league. And so I'm excited. We're passionate about what we do, and so I'm enjoying where we're at. Yeah, Willie G, that man, that's my guy. We knew each other far back in high school days, and we're just building every single day. We're trying to figure out how each other plays, how to play on beside each other and stuff like that. And so every single day, we're just trying to get a little bit better with each other, get more comfortable with each other, trying to tuck through stuff. And that goes with also Snead, being a nickel position. We play side by side as well, so we're trying to fill each other out as well.
How is the coming on the team of Justin Reed, how does that emerge? And, like, I don't know, the locker room's not really started yet, but you guys are here in camp. Like, how does that presence of a veteran safety coming in, replacing another veteran safety that had a big voice, how has his voice been so far with this team this year?
Oh, yeah, he's been tremendous for us, man. Coming in every single day, giving it his all. We know every single day what we're going to get out of Jay Reed, the vocal guy. He's going to get us set up in the back end along with Juwan. And so those guys right there are improving every single day. They came in playing side by side, not really having a position, just playing football. And so kind of getting that defined more as the season goes along. And and those guys are just fun to be around. Very vocal guys, both of them. And so we're excited for both of them.
Yeah, guys, addition to this team, Carlos Dunlap. What do you know about Carlos? What does he bring to this nasty little defense that we have?
Yeah, I know. I watched Carlos Dunlap at Seattle, and I've seen he's a long-rangey pass rusher, kind of like how he does on run fits and stuff like that. I haven't really watched much of his tape ever since we signed him, but I know a little bit of him from Seattle from last year, but I'm excited that we got him here.
So, again, it all goes back to where Brett Veach always seems to learn and change. And you look at that 2020 Super Bowl where Patrick Mahomes spent a lot of the time running. I remember the stat where he ran like 250 yards from total in the backfield because of, you know, just no protection. And then what happened? Your general manager went out and made a trade for Joe Tooney. Got him. Who'd he protect for a long time? Tom Brady. Then you went out and drafted a guy in Trey Smith who worked out remarkably. Became probably the best right guard in football last year. Never missed a game. Mitch Holtis, who sat down with me on and Jay Binkley at camp last year, said he was going to start from day one and never miss a game. And he was one of those guys that off the field, Clark Kent, shakes your hand, you know, very professional. On the field, he's going to rip your face off. And that's what we saw from Trey Smith. And then they drafted Creed Humphrey, who eventually, it's inevitable, but he's going to be an all-pro center and probably the best center in the league, and it might start this year. I'm not kidding. And then you see how he did that this year with the defense. And all offseason we asked, you know, are they going to go get Robert Quinn? Are they going to go look at a guy like Clowney? Are they going to go get a defensive end that they can bring to this team that's a vet? And they drafted Karloftis, and they signed Carlos Dunlap, and now you're going to move Chris Jones back into his original spot, which is defensive tackle, no longer going to flirt with the topic of, oh, maybe he should be a defensive end and see what happens. Didn't work. Now he gets to go be the bull rusher in the middle of that defensive line, cause a distraction, get this, you know, Karloftis there, and then change it. That's what we've seen this general manager do. Take your weak points and slam dunk them the next year. There's a lot of guys out there running teams that don't do that. And it seems very obvious, right? It seems very obvious. You're like, oh, well, we should probably go get a wide receiver. Or we should probably go fix our defensive line or our offensive line. Looking at you, Miami. Could have gone out there, picked up some offensive line pieces. What'd you do? You didn't. You went and got Tyreek Hill and paid him a ton of money. No, that's not a shot at Tyreek Hill, I promise. They had Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki already. They got another receiver. They got an elite receiver. But they didn't really fix their offensive line, which was giving Tua fits. We'll see how that goes. They got Melvin Ingram. Right? So it's interesting when you see how Brett Veach is able to figure out, nail it, and then work on it. Like, no one here and no one in the NFL Network and no one that does shows on 610 Sports Radio is asking themselves, can Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney, Orlando Brown, and Trey Smith, can they do it again? Are they really gelled? Are they really back? You're not doing that because you don't have to do that because you already know the obvious, and the answer is yes. And now we might get a little nasty defense because at the end of the day, as long as 15 has the ball, you're going to be really, really successful, and you're going to score a little bit more points. And again, Mahomes has never had a true defense on his side. Didn't have it in high school. Didn't have it at Texas Tech. Didn't have it in the pros. Well, this is his sixth year and his fifth year as a starter. Why I think a defense can also improve what I think could be his third best year ever for his career, and he's only started in the league five times. Back in 8:32 on a Monday night. Hopefully you had a great Monday. I know Mondays suck. I'm fairly aware of that. Ask people where to go for some grub from the 702 Peanut on 127th, Bird Bomb Tots and their blue cheese down. I think the Peanuts have the best wing in the city. So if you haven't had the Peanut wings yet, Colin, if you like buffalo wings, they're huge. They give you the whole wing. But very easy. Boru Ramen Bar in Waldo. Sam in South KC. That's how what he suggests. I need to try that place. We also asked, what would your walk-up music be or your bullpen entrance music be? It would be kind of cool to see some pitcher come out with Wild Thing and the glasses. That'd be kind of nice. Right now on the NFL Network, they're showing the Chiefs and Bills playoff game last year. They should have just let that be the deciding factor for the Super Bowl. We didn't need Cincinnati. Cincinnati was kind of boring. Minute 13, the Chiefs scored. That was the play that Tyreek Hill caught over the middle, and then everybody said he scored too fast. The hell with that. Score as soon as you possibly can. Then Buffalo got the ball back with a minute two and left too much time on the clock. Somebody says I should just eat at Waffle House. I'm down with that. I used to do that in high school. We go to Waffle House on like a Friday night after a football game. And then we would go hang out with Pam. She was a sweetheart. Big time sweetheart. Technically, the Chiefs beat the Bills with 10 seconds. Because Butker laced that thing. I feel like if I go back in time and go back to that field goal kick, I was really nervous. Because didn't he miss like two kicks earlier in that game? Can't remember. But I do remember that they got the coin toss. And then it was over. Pump fake, double move. See ya. Also, right now is the perfect time of year because it's the it's a little bit of a downtime of sports, so it's kind of facetious saying the perfect time of year, but you get the Little League World Series. There's video today. There's this kid. He's like number 25. He's a big kid. He's hit two home runs in one game today, and on his second one, he flipped the bat. Disappointing thing about that, people were trashing his bat flipping. We just don't let anybody have fun from like age 8, 12, 15 to 35. You just can't have fun. Whatever. But something that will be fun this year that we kind of talked about earlier in tonight that I think that we can talk about again is the fact that I think Patrick Mahomes will in fact be a front runner for MVP. And I think he's going to have one of his best careers that he may ever have in his NFL career. Best years of his career this year. I'm dead serious. And I'm not kidding when I bring this up, because I think that when you look at what presents itself, and I understand that there's a lot of people that think that this is the hardest schedule that anybody has ever seen in the NFL. And it might be. It might be the hardest schedule ever on paper right now. The other thing is that all these teams have to play the Chiefs, right? Like, a lot of these teams have to go play at Arrowhead or against Kansas City. And who knows what the hell Kansas City is going to do this year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's not the same Kansas City Chiefs team. It's not the Chiefs team of the past.
Well, I think the Legion of Zoom, so this is sad to say, but I think this Legion of Zoom is dead.
Okay.
I think it's a new era. I think it can win with this offense, but it's a little bit more methodical. And, like, you saw eras of Tom Brady. I think we're entering the second era, the second phase of Patrick Mahomes, where this offense is going to be a little bit more methodical. He's got to make these receivers look good. We know that Tyreek Hill, look, as much as he's been chirping this offseason, he's really, really good in his own right. He's a top five receiver. I can see him remaining that. I think he'll have to catch the ball a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage with Tua, despite what he says. But, you know, back here, you don't have Tyreek anymore. And I think it's going to be more of a possession receiver with Juju, who's going to be the number one target. You're going to have MVS, who can do a bunch of different things. We know that he can stretch the field, but it's not exactly the same type of deal. And so I think he can win consistently. I think that's going to keep up, but it's just going to feel a little bit different, and it's going to be Patrick Mahomes beating you more so than these receivers. Patrick Mahomes is going to win each and every week, and you'll see different receivers making plays.
And you can Google the schedule. You can look up, you know, when they play what. But, I mean, right out of the chute, you go to an NFC West favorite with the Cardinals. Then you play Thursday night at home against the Chargers. You think the Chargers are worried about that game? Probably. You got to go to Arrowhead, first Amazon Prime game, short week. At Indianapolis is a little tough. At Tampa Bay, you know the Chiefs want that one. Raiders at home, Bills at home, and then at Niners. I mean, that's how you get it. That's how the season starts. And yeah, that's tough. But there's more into it than just, like, let's look at the team they play and then think about the situation. You mean to tell me the Chiefs aren't wanting to kick the Buccaneers' ass? You mean to tell me that when the Chargers come into Arrowhead on Thursday night, where Justin Herbert has yet to lose, Mahomes doesn't know that? And then, oh, baby, we get Buffalo here? Come on. It might be tough, but you got to trust that QB in a time period where it's a new style of offense. And like you heard there from the chief editor of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney, tell you, this might be a new era of a Mahomes style of football. That to me is scary in a sense of its own, because we don't know what Mahomes we're going to get this year, but we can trust ourselves to think it's going to be okay, right? If you know your son or daughter is a really good driver, you're not really concerned if she gets a more experienced car after her first one or his first one. You trust them to drive it all right, even though it might be a Beamer, a Lexus, and before they were driving a Camry. You trust them because you know that the person that's operating it has the psyche and the ability to do what they can do. Hence, a Patrick Mahomes with this offense. There is no Tyreek Hill, but there is an MVS, a Juju Smith-Schuster, a Sky Moore, and Mecole Hardman. All that is there. So you trust your quarterback to be able to develop to that. And if you have any doubt upon that, you remember last year, the two high safety, the rush four, we're just going to put everything deep and make him beat us underneath. What happened? That's what happened. Mahomes developed. Mahomes figured it out. David in Green Valley, thanks for joining the show. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
So in the previous segment before the commercial, you're talking about this may be the best defense that Patrick Mahomes has ever had.
Correct.
And I agree on some levels, but we don't know how big losing Tyrann Mathieu was. I love the linebackers, but where's the pass rush? I have no faith in Frank Clark and Carlos Dunlap. I mean, like, it's good, but I feel like he's our 1A on the edge rusher, and that's it. So I don't see how that's the best defense. I mean, maybe it's the best he's had, but I don't see it as a difference maker.
So I said it could be the best defense that Patrick Mahomes has ever had. And the reason I say that is because you have guys that you've drafted in a Carl Loftus and a Trent McDuffie. Leo Chenault is going to be a freak. I've seen the guy play in practice, and I've seen the way he hits people. It's in the way that he pays attention to detail. Again, we haven't seen it. That's the only issue. We have not seen this defense play yet. But last year, Tyrann Mathieu was not good. Go back and watch the first Cincinnati Bengals game. The man just wasn't playing the style of defense that he wanted to play. And I don't know this to be fact, but I'm pretty sure this was said, that Tyrann Mathieu was a little hesitant last year. He was dinged up. He was hurt. He was in a year in which he wanted to get a contract. He was hesitant. Dan Sorensen was on this team last year starting. I don't know how you can agree that adding Justin Reed, adding a young corner, a more experienced Legarius Sneed, a Juan Thornhill that no longer has anybody in his way, also on a contract year. Chris Jones now in the back home where he was at, which now creates people like a Carlos Dunlap, like a guy like Carl Loftus, and a guy like Frank Clark. Frank Clark is not going to be leaned upon to be a starter every single game. Frank Clark isn't going to play 80% of defensive snaps. Neither is George Karloftis. They're going to rotate. They're going to stay fresh. And if they can produce at a level that I think they might be able to, this, in fact, could be, David, one of the best defensive teams that Patrick Mahomes has ever had. And again, that's also not saying a whole lot, because Patrick Mahomes has never really had a good defense. But a glass full mentality makes you think that a Justin Reed who's younger, healthier, and more aspiring to be a winner, no Dan Sorensen, a more effective Legarius Sneed, a Juan Thornhill that has no more, you know, personas in his way and he's on a contract year, and young guys that are hungry that want to win. Seems like a good recipe for a new defense. Seems like a good recipe for a team that might be able to step up a little bit differently. And if Patrick Mahomes is given the ball a little bit more, you might see one of the best years Patrick Mahomes has ever put together. It may not be the 2018 year where he had 50 and 5,000, but it might be a year in which my take is that he's going to have 47 and 4,800. Come back, we wrap up this show. Wrapping up the show, thanks for everybody that tuned along. Thanks to Colin Settle for running this operation. Totally appreciate you, sir. How about this from James Palmer an hour ago? Mahomes really appeared to get a little excited when he brought up Mecole Hardman to us on the NFL Network. Mahomes said he expects Hardman to fill the role of Tyreek Hill on a lot of the deep routes they run, and Hardman has accepted the challenge, and he's ready and really excited for him. Huh. That screams contract year. Right? Like, you have to know that Mecole Hardman sat back in his recycler this year. By the way, Mecole Hardman was great. If you missed the conversation I had with him last, was it Saturday? Everything kind of blurred after this weekend. But if you go back and listen to that, it's pretty interesting to hear what he had to say. Is I always try to say that this team is on a prove-it season from an individual standpoint, and he just said, well, nobody has to prove anything to anybody. Well, they don't, because the Chiefs have won the AFC West for the last 6 years, a divisional record. But the thing that's great about that is that I do think you will see a lot of Mecole Hardman this year. He kind of has been the star around camp with Sky Moore. Those have been the two guys that have really kind of stolen camp. And I think that obviously you look at guys like Juju Smith-Schuster who have stolen the light of one Patrick Mahomes. But yeah, I mean, I think if Mecole Hardman can be that guy, Mecole Hardman can be the one that is going to be the star of the receiving crew. I mean, it makes sense. He's got the most chemistry with Patrick Mahomes. He knows what Patrick Mahomes likes, where guys need to be. And I think that we saw the turn of one Patrick Mahomes whenever he towards the end of the season. We just ran out of season. But Mecole Hardman was the best wide receiver outside of Tyreek Hill on this team last year, the last 3 to 4 games. And he was better than Tyreek Hill in some of those games, in my opinion. And if he's ready to take that role and be that deep threat guy and also have those, you know, plays that can break off for 60 yards down the field if he's able to get a hold of it, then yeah, I would be okay with that. One thing from this weekend that I thought was great that I want to get to, because I know that a lot of you know that I'm a golf guy, and I know it's boring, so I don't talk about it often, and if I do, it's normally at the end of a show. Something great that we got from this weekend was Sir Nick Faldo signed off for the final time, and I'm going to tell you something. I tend to be a little emotional and can be dramatic. I admit that to everybody. But man, when you see it happen to pros and to 65-year-old men that have been in the limelight for many years, this was just insane.
For words I am now, except just to say, Nick, your final thoughts on this remarkable run.
I blew it.
You got it, mate.
That was all ready.
It's been a great journey.
You've always been ready, mate.
We've been lucky. Mm-hmm. We've been very fortunate.
16 years.
People only knew.
Hang on.
The time that you get
breathe.
To spend together.
Let's say you breathe. 5 yeah. seconds, breathe. Okay.
You got this.
So I was in a boat in Ireland, and they gave me a call and said, how would you like to sit next to Jim Nance? I literally fell out the boat. I really did. There was 206, and here we are 16 years later.
Did he cut?
It's been an amazing run.
Mm-hmm. Sounded like you might have cut.
Means I'm a single child, and I found at 65 three brothers. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pretty crazy, right? Like, there's Nick Faldo, 65 years old, drops a great quote at the end. He goes, I'm a single child, and at 65, I've gained three brothers. I mean, pull on your heartstrings a little bit harder. And I get it. Some of you might be like, well, it's Nick Faldo, you know, whatever. Who cares? But it's interesting there because Jim Nance is, like, not making it any easier the entire time. Like, Nance is just, like, known to, like, say those perfect things in, like, the right times or the emotional, you know, era. Like, every time the Masters is over, there's something that he's written down that he's got ready to go and then drops the great line. And then here's Nick Faldo, his, like, great friend. He's trying to, like, give him the time to be like, hey, here, by the way, like, floor's yours. And then eventually Faldo's like, hang on. Just literally cannot get it together. Cannot break it down. Can't get any words out. It's just completely lost in the moment of signing off for the first time. Nick Faldo, done with the PGA Tour. Done with everything. Gonna move to Montana and just be a cow raiser. Because before he signed off, he showed a book and said how acceptable it is to have little cows as pets. Text line 785. I literally don't understand how a lot of people think our offense will be better after losing a top five receiver. My only response to that is you'll see. I mean, I think we're going to find out. And this is something that I brought up at camp this weekend is we're going to find out if Tyreek Hill is a superstar receiver or just a star receiver without Patrick Mahomes. You can call that a hot take all you want. You can say that Tyreek Hill will be a superstar receiver no matter who his quarterback is. That might be true. If Tyreek Hill is a superstar, then we'll see that this year when Tua is his quarterback. But let's also think about the other side of it. Patrick Mahomes isn't throwing him the football anymore. And the analogy that I had made was Dante Culpepper and Randy Moss. When Dante Culpepper lost Randy Moss, Dante Culpepper's career was never the same again. Johnny Manziel won a Heisman at Texas A&M. He did. But a lot of people forget that Mike Evans was his wide receiver number one. Nobody has to tell me that Mike Evans isn't a freak, right? Now, granted, those are receivers losing quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks losing receivers, and the quarterbacks not being as great. This has an opposite effect. Tyreek Hill's going to go to Miami, and we're going to find out really quick if Tyreek Hill still has it the same way that he had it in Kansas City. Because a lot of those plays, it was the quarterback getting him the ball down the field. And again, to credit Tyreek Hill, a lot of those plays were Tyreek Hill getting the ball and then making the plays to go down the field. But we'll find out. It was a fun show tonight. I think some things that we found out tonight, Juju Smith-Schuster seems to be the number one wide receiver in Patrick Mahomes' arsenal. Edwin Diaz's walk-up music is something that we need more of in baseball. It's something that's fun. It's something that people enjoy, something that people like. I think that if you can exploit that more in baseball, you can allow that to be more of a thing, spread that like wildfire. Man, we're going to have a lot more fun in baseball, just like we'd have a lot more fun in baseball if we had people that were mic'd up 24/7 throughout the game. Oh, I don't want to see that. You don't want to see that? Baseball seems very fun. Hey, there you go. Nice. Not really a walk-up song, but it's a walk-out song, which plays just as fine. Colin Settle knows what he's doing. To everyone that listened to the show tonight, to everyone that enjoyed the show tonight, I appreciate you. For those of you that don't like me, I appreciate you even more. Totally fine with it. Somebody said on the text line, I need to go to Chili's. It's always good on a Monday night. Chili's has got one good menu item, and it's the buffalo chicken sandwich. Maybe I'll get the buffalo chicken wrap from 54th Street. Thanks again to everybody that listened. Tune in tomorrow. Everybody's here, except for Carrington Harrison. I'm Dusty Likens. It's Colin Settle, 610 Sports Radio. Have a nice night on a Monday night, everybody. Do something nice for somebody. It might change the world.